إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فمن بعد, my brothers and sisters, there are in leadership there are two major issues as far as challenge of leadership is concerned. One is leading in times when there is no stress, and the other one is leading at a time when your own right to lead or your position to lead itself may be in question. Now, we see from the life of Rasulullah that these questions came even in his own blessed life and how he dealt with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah not only as a teacher, not only as a messenger to convey a message, not only as a teacher to teach how to live by that message, but also as a demonstrator of how to live by that message. So Rasulullah was the complete combination of these three things: someone who came to inform, someone who taught, and taught by speaking and instructing, and someone who taught by showing and demonstrating. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Allah said, inform them, make tilawat, tell them, recite for them my ayat, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and purify them, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, and then teach them the kitab, وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and teach them the wisdom. So, preparing the people by informing them of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then purifying them so that they can be fit to and able to receive that message. Because the message and the of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take root and does not come into a place, in this case the heart and mind of a person, life of a person, which is not pure. So purifying the people who are the potential recipients of this message, and then teaching the message. The message has already been informed, it has been recited, it has been informed to the people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, which means that simply reading the kitab is not sufficient, the book has to be taught by the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So those who claim that the work of the Messenger was to convey the message and there is nothing else, na'udhu billah, apart from being statements of kufr because they are against the adab of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, This makes no sense and no logic, because Allah specifically is saying that He sent His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also to teach the message. And in addition to teaching the message, wal hikmah, demonstrate this message, show the wisdom of this message by living that message. So these are the, this is the way in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's leadership was jama and complete in all these respects. Now in this context, as I said, there are the challenge that happens is, in a time of stress, you may have a time of stress which is sometimes, as a matter of fact, leadership in times of stress is easier than leading when there is no stress. And that's why I said the biggest challenge, first challenge, is to lead and continue to lead, continue to inspire when there is no fire. To tell people to do this or that, or to, you know, bring about changes when there is in an environment that is full of challenges and threats, is comparatively easier than doing it in an environment where there is no apparent threat. And the reason for that is because when there are threats, people are willing to listen. They know this is a crisis situation, and if somebody has a plan or looks like they have a plan, people will follow them. They won't question too much because they know things are difficult. So doesn't matter. Whatever else we used to fight over, that has no importance anymore, because what we are facing with now is a matter of life and death. Like they say, हमारी उर्दू में दक्षिणी में बोलते हैं कि मौत को डरा है तो बीमारी को राजी बोलते हैं. So that way, if you know you're faced with a life and death situation, then you are willing to put up with hardships and you are willing to put up with many things which normally you would not have done. So that's why to lead in a time when there is no stress is much more difficult than to lead in a time when there is stress. So this is what we see from the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that how did he lead. But more importantly and more bigger challenge than that is where apparently your own authority comes into question. And this happens when you are forced to take a decision which your followers do not like. Now today, we live in a world which thinks that it has the best form of government, which is democracy. And while I have no quarrel with that, definitely democracy is, whether it's best or not, it's far superior to monarchies and far superior to dictatorships and any other form of government that the human race has come up with. But at the same time, whether it is perfect or not, I don't know. And I'm not willing to say it is perfect because I don't think it is. Because one of the biggest problems of democracy is this, what we call populism, which is an overwhelming concern for popularity. Because democracy, as we know it mostly, is really headcount. How many people will vote for me? How many people are on my side? That's effectively what it is. And this is also aided and abetted by the fact that by and large in the world, a lot of people have become jaded with democracy. They've lost hope in it, and so therefore they don't vote. So what ends up happening is that the so-called popular vote is really not popular vote at all. It is a few people who have voted, and since the majority have not voted, these few people, they prevail. So you will end up having a government which came into power with 20% of the vote or 15% of the vote. I mean, if it is a true democracy, how can anyone come into power with 15% of the vote? That's a ridiculous thing, right? Because in that case, it meant that 85% of the people voted for the opposition. But in this case, 85% of the people did not vote at all. So these 50%, 15% voted. The opposition, maybe they got 10%. So totally only 25% of the people voted. The other 75% of the people did nothing. And therefore, these people who got 15%, they actually come to power. Because of the 15% who voted and the 75% who did not vote. This is an aside, but I think it's important to understand is that when you are not voting, you are actually supporting whichever party comes to power. So if you have not voted and you find that a party has come to power which you did not want, then you may rest assured that you are responsible. You are the one who made that happen, whether you like it or not. They came to power because you did not vote. It's as simple as that. Now, the reason I'm saying that is that one of the outcomes of this form of government is that leaders are overly concerned with their personal popularity. And so, therefore, they don't want to give any bad news. They don't want to say anything to people which people may not like, even when they know that it is absolutely critically important to give this news, because This is a matter of life and death, but they will not say it. For example, if you just to give you some examples, the attitude of the world, globally speaking, especially America, because America is the, whether anyone likes it or not, it is the global leader, towards global warming, right? Now, everyone is in this self-induced fog by saying that it is not happening. It's fine, there's no problem, which is absolute nonsense. There is a problem to the extent of being a crisis. But just because Donald Trump doesn't want to recognize it, his government doesn't want to recognize it, or somebody doesn't want to recognize it, people are going around thinking and imagining and pretending that there is no problem as far as global warming is concerned. But you know, and I know, there is a problem. But people don't want to talk about that. Similarly, in this country, for example, in India, potential unemployment, number one. Number two, the failure of the education system are two absolutely life-threatening, critical matters that are facing us. But there is no government who wants to talk about that. Right? They do not want to talk about unemployment. On the other hand, we take this whole hype of, you know, make in India, and India is the country of the future. I mean, if shouting from the rooftops could get results, then I would be the king of England. This is a completely ridiculous, nonsensical belief that if you just say something loud enough, it becomes the truth. It does not become the truth. That we are in this country, we are facing an absolute crisis as far as the future is concerned, because our education system has completely collapsed. It does not exist. I mean, there is no quality education in this country. And second thing is that is resulting in a huge explosion, population explosion, of having the youngest, demographically the youngest population in the world, which will remain the case for the next 30 to 40 years, and no jobs. You are looking at potentially a state of anarchy. You are looking at potentially a state where there will be blood on the streets. I'm not exaggerating at all. But this is the bad news which our leaders do not want to speak about. They don't want to give it because they feel it will detract from their popularity. And they will lose their seats in parliament, and they will lose their popularity with the people, because if you go to the people and say, look, you people have to wake up, you have to get out, you have to do some things by yourselves. Right? The third thing we are facing in this country is a sense of total lack of responsibility that every citizen faces. Whether it is somebody chucking an empty packet of chips or something out of the car window as he is driving, it's a demonstration of lack of responsibility. If you see how people drive on the street, it's a lack of responsibility. If you see the garbage on the streets, garbage does not come out of the earth. Garbage comes from your house onto the street. And if you ask somebody, why do you throw garbage on the street? I mean, I'm just giving you a few examples, right? Let me not even talk about public urinating and defecating, which is our landmark, or spitting pan on the walls. So let me not talk about that. I'm saying all of these are signs of a nation which is in a huge, huge, huge crisis. But nobody wants to talk about that. Because this means that we have to give people bad news. We have to tell them, look, this is what you need to do. Show them ways of changing and enforce this change if necessary. Nobody wants to do that because they feel that it will take away from their popularity. Now, the reason I'm saying all of this is because this is not a political lecture, but this is... I'm coming to the seerah, and we won't do this today. This is a preamble, inshallah. In the next few days, we'll talk about that. But the issue of leadership is to have the integrity to speak the truth, even when speaking that truth may challenge your own authority and may challenge your own popularity. This is a very, very... a critical challenge of leadership, the ability and the willingness to speak the truth and to, within quotes, give bad news and to take a decision which has the potential to make you unpopular. At the extreme, make you lose your leadership. But to still do that, because your integrity demands that as a leader. Truthfulness demands that. Accountability before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands that. This is a very, very critical challenge, and inshallah, in the next few days we'll see how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced this challenge, how the Sahaba faced this challenge, and how they met this challenge, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.